We'll take a break in our James series. I wanted to preach on a subject specifically related to our Recruitment Sunday. So we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 12 to 31. The title of the sermon is Mutual Dependency. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. Hear what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. When you became a member here at Main Street Presbyterian Church, you took five membership vows. For some of you, that was a long, long time ago, and you may have forgotten what you signed yourself up for. In one of those vows, you promised to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability. Today is Recruitment Sunday, and what we're trying to do is encourage you to and give you opportunity to fulfill that membership vow that you made when you joined the church. There are many needs, and what we are really, really trying and praying about and guarding ourselves about is becoming a type of church where few people do the brunt of the work. We would much rather be, and I think consistently with what Paul is saying here, we would much rather be a church where everybody plays a role in whatever capacity. Through whatever gifts God has given you, everybody can become involved in the ministry of Main Street Presbyterian Church. Paul reminds us we're part of a body, each of us, in God's sovereign and in the operations of His sovereign Spirit, each of us have a gift. Christ is calling you to serve your brothers and sisters. And we're going to take a look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians here in chapter 12 and glean some guidance on serving one another. Title again is Mutual Dependency. And the first point that I want to bring out is this. You are the body of Christ. You need to understand that so that you can appreciate how Christ expects the church to function. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Paul uses a helpful image to aid our understanding of how the church is and how it functions. And that is obviously from our text, the image of the human body. Think about the body. Maybe think to your biology classes. Anybody taken biology? Anatomy, physiology, anyone? I'm assuming that somebody is. Or somebody has. Body consists of 206 bones, 650 muscles, 9 organ systems. It is the most complex thing on the planet. Yet, all of these different individual parts are working in a perfect and wonderful unity. It's amazing. They're all united as one. They all share the same DNA, a biological signature of their unity. You could take any one of my bones, any one of my muscles, and you could do a DNA test, and it would all say, that belongs to one dude, Todd Matoka. We got his DNA. It's unique to him. No one else shares it. This weekend, our town hosted the Possum Town Triathlon. Consisted of 3 events, a 600-meter swim, a 17-mile bike ride, and a 3.3-mile run. And think about the wonder of those 206 bones, those 650 muscles, those 9 organ systems, all working towards one goal, to finish the swim, to get on the bike and ride, and then to run to the finish line. That is how the church should be. There are countless members and representatives and individuals seated here this morning. And what Christ wants to see is all of you working in unity and in unison to accomplish His divine purpose. The picture and the analogy that Paul ties together is that of Christ being our head and each individual Christian as a very important and contributing member of the body. The goal is to glorify God by going into the world and making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, right? Caring for the poor and vulnerable. That's why He sets the diaconal office in the church. We're here together, together to stir each other up to love and to good works. Now, Paul does share a little bit with us about how we become the body of Christ in verse 13. What ties us together? And he talks about this in Ephesians 4 as well. Paul writes, for in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. The unifying agent that knits us together as the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit, as He is gifted to us and poured out on us in our salvation. John the Baptist refers to this often in his ministry. In Matthew 1:8, he says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why is it that we can all profess that same Apostles' Creed? Why do we all believe the same thing? Because we have one Spirit that points us to this one truth, a Spirit that unlocks our knowledge base to grasp hold, to believe, to understand that there is a triune God who created the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That He has sent His dearly beloved Son, His precious Son into the world. And He did this crazy thing. He became a man. God became a man. He died on a cross. He was raised from the dead, all not for Himself, but in service to His body. So that you wouldn't have to face the wrath of God. Jesus speaks of the necessity of this Spirit when He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the Holy Spirit operates like ligaments and tendons binding all of you individual people together into one perfect, harmonious unity. Now, the second thing I want to see in this text, we see how we become the body of Christ. But how do we learn to celebrate our diversity? There was a problem in Corinth. And this is part of the reason why Paul is writing what he is writing. There were some unhealthy aspirations. Certain gifts were deemed by members of the congregation to be superior to others. And the way the congregation functioned, they wanted to outdo one another. And those gifts were things like prophecy and miracles and speaking in tongues. So people wanted to become, to participate in the prophetic gift or the tongue-speaking gift, not so much to serve the congregation, but to promote themselves. Hey, look at me. I'm a tongue speaker. I'm a prophet. I'm better than you. That was the mentality that was created in Corinth. And what Paul warns us against is he says we must guard ourselves over valuing certain gifts over the others. We must begin to see that even the most insignificant, or seemingly to us, even the most insignificant role that we might play in the life of the church may be insignificant to us, but it's highly valued by the giver of the gift, our God. They had a childish and immature view of the church. Now, football season is coming soon. For some high schools, it's already started. I want to ask the young children in the congregation a question. If you were going to play in the NFL, I guess I should say I'm going to ask the boys, but some girls might have an aspiration to play in the NFL. If you're going to play in the NFL, what position do you want to play? Anybody? What do you expect you're going to hear? I want to be the quarterback. I want to be the running back. I want to be the wide receiver. Why? Well, those are the ones that get all of the glory. They are the ones that get all of the headlines and the media praise and the press. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the New England Patriots starting quarterback? Everybody knows that, right? Okay. One person doesn't. Raise your hand if you know the answer to that. Who's the New England Patriots starting quarterback? All right. Now, let me ask you another question. Who is the New England Patriots starting center? Raise your hand if you know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Which position is more important? Well, I would say this. If you have the top player in every position on the line, you will make your quarterback look much better than he actually is. If you have a very weak line, a very poor center, you will make your quarterback look far more average than he actually may be in terms of his talent level. Coaches will tell you that your team starts with your offense and defensive line. The big guys who no one knows anything about. And I will tell you this, the health and well-being of this church doesn't start with who you think it starts with. There are many people who work behind the scenes in ways that you know nothing about, and they make Main Street Presbyterian Church what it is. Not the pastor. That's how God wants it to be. We should never invest too much dependency on our pastor or our elders or our deacons. It needs to be the whole of us. We need to learn mutual dependency on each other. Last year's NFL draft, 17 of the first round picks were offensive or defensive linemen. Says a lot, doesn't it, about the value placed on those positions that you couldn't even name. Whatever your gift is, enjoy serving the body of Christ. The success of the body is related to your contributions. Look at 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Any of you feel like, man, I'm just so insignificant here? I mean, I feel like I'm almost just, why? What am I contributing? Paul says, wait a minute. You got it all wrong. You've got a vital, vital role to play in the ministry of this church. Everyone has a spiritual gift. The quiet, unnoticed, behind the scene prayer warrior. The steady, committed Sunday school teacher. And we could ask the same question. How many of you know the name of the pastor at Main Street Presbyterian Church? Oh, you'd all raise your hand. How many of you know who's laboring week after week in the midst of being a mother and all of the responsibilities? Who teaches our second graders? Some of you might know because you got second graders, but most of you don't. And I want to say a word to our moms, especially those with young children. It's a difficult season of life. And in some ways, it's an ungrateful role. You don't get a lot of pats on the back. You feel a lot of times discouraged. You feel overwhelmed with responsibility. You think, what have I gotten myself into? This is hard work. Changing diapers. Waking up in the middle of the night to console a child, wiping noses, figuring out dinner, washing clothes. And the world makes you feel even worse. Christ values that work. And I want to show you something. In Titus chapter 2, I know you ladies may have been studying this, but you may think, well, how does any of that connect to the preaching of our pastor on a Sunday? How does my mundane, average, ordinary life relate to the ministry of Main Street Presbyterian Church? What is it? How am I helping? Well, listen to this. Titus 2, 4 and 5. The older women are to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be reviled. So think about this, ladies. When you are fulfilling what God has called you to do as a mother and a wife, and your friends and your family members, they see that. You know what that does? They think, I wonder where she goes to church. There's something about her. You know, she doesn't complain. She's not upset with the position that she's in. It's hard, and she cries about it sometimes, and her husband doesn't know what's going on with her emotionally sometimes. It's just difficult. But look at her. Look at her steadfastness. I want to go to that church. I want to hear what she's hearing. That's what Paul's saying here. We have many who are in the latter stages of their Christian walk, and you think, well, I really don't have the energy to teach a Sunday school class or to be in the nursery. I'm not really fit for that. What can I do? I don't know if I can sign up for anything on those lists back there. Well, let me give you an illustration of a long-standing member who died recently, Sadie Brewer. Her and her husband, P.B. Brewer, you know what they did when they got to that stage of life? They started sending postcards out to members of the church. Was it on their birthday? Just randomly? Encouraging them and asking them for prayer needs. Do you think that that doesn't have a place in the life of our church? Doesn't matter what stage you're in, what health condition you're in, you can contribute to the church. Children, you can invite friends to VBS, to Sunday school parties. Wednesday nights, we're about to start up. You know what? You know what I see on Wednesday nights sometimes as the children go up to their classes? Plates on tables, cups on tables. Why? Why don't you serve us and throw your stuff away? Clean up your mess. It's an easy thing to do. And it helps the church. You're part of the body. Picking up communion cups after the Lord's Supper. The last point I want to make is this. We see that every part has a role to play. We are mutually dependent on each other. We need each other. Just as the eye needs the hand, the head needs the feet, we need each other. And Paul talks about this starting in verse 18. He writes these words, "But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose." So your gift set is based on his sovereign choice. "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." God has created the church in such a way that we depend upon each other for our spiritual growth and service. Some of you may be familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who was persecuted and killed by the Nazis because he refused to buy into their propaganda. He held true to his Christian commitments, and a whole lot of people caved. He was one of the exceptions to the rule. He wrote a book called Life Together. I would encourage you, if you have a chance, it's a great little book for a Bible study. But it's about this Christian community, the importance of Christian community. And this is what he says, pages 93 and 94. "Each member of the community is given his particular place. But this is no longer the place in which he can most successfully assert himself, but the place where he can best perform his service." It's not about promoting yourself. It's about how can I help my other brothers and sisters in Christ more. It's the place where he can best perform his service. Once a man has experienced the mercy of God in his life, he will henceforth aspire only to serve, just like Jesus, because it's his spirit that unites us. Think of the importance of every part doing its job in a high-performance race car, NASCAR. Any NASCAR fans out here? Personally, I'm not, but think if the tire pressure on one of the four tires is a little low. The racer could lose significant time with just a small, small problem like that. It could be the difference from finishing in the top 5 to finishing in the top 20. What if the fuel injection system is slightly off? He may lose important fuel economy, forcing him to refuel more often than he should, and therefore losing time. What if one of the tires is completely flat altogether? That's catastrophic, isn't it? You may lose the race altogether for that. But what if a single clip on a seatbelt malfunctions? Or there is a failure in the airbag system? Then we're talking about not just, these are insignificant things, right? A little clip on the seatbelt, some fault in the airbag system. We're not talking about finishing 20th instead of 5th. We're not talking about not finishing at all. We're talking about potentially losing our lives. So every part of that car functions in a way that optimizes the car's performance. The church functions at its most optimal level for the spread of the gospel and the glory of God when every member plays their role. And what we're asking you to do today, after the benediction, enjoy talking. Take your conversations to the back of the sanctuary. Prayerfully, you've had some information over the last couple of weeks. Prayerfully think of ways in which you can serve so you can spread the burden across the whole span of the church and fulfill your vow, your membership vow, to assist the church in its worship and ministry to the best of your ability. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for how you have created your church, and you give us the analogy of the body. It's so informative to us. Help us to see that even our children, our young children, they have a role to play in the life and ministry of Main Street Church. Help us. May your Spirit move in us in such a way that we respond to this call. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.